Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And tonight on our show, we will be talking with Vernon Dozier, who is not only a high school teacher and football coach, he also helps out at the middle school during kid drop-off. And, you know, if you take your kids to school, you're in line. You've seen it. If you don't have any kids, you've probably seen it, you've seen it portrayed in films or television where there's a big, long line of SUVs. Well, I live that, or used to. Till I started working late. My wife doesn't now, and he will be discussing with us a growing contingent of parents who are sick of waiting behind that one mother who's spending like 20 minutes saying goodbye to her kids. He actually got called on the carpet by the school for some behavior relative to that. And also Mr. Stephen Bozell, the construction contractor from Corona, California, who's got must have a massive retainer with Dolores Blazengame, his attorney in Riverside, California. He's now suing Kenny Rogers Roasters and his wife April for being humiliated there in what he calls, quote, the chicken restaurant, end quote. I spoke with Steve earlier and he said to me, and I'm quoting again, all I wanted to do was take my wife out for a nice chicken dinner. Now, we're also going to have a visit, I believe, from Mr. Lloyd Bonafide, who is wondering whether he's going to get his bread back for his trip to Mardi Gras. Joe Dickhead and the Professor are back tonight as the National Football League season kicks off tomorrow night, Oakland at New England. So Joe Dickhead and the Professor will have their picks. And as you know, they're terrible at picking professional football. And not only that, but not only are they bad at picking professional football, they're so stupid that they've got this, you know, $5 a minute line where you can call and get their picks, but they give them for free on the air, which they haven't quite put those two together. So tonight they'll be doing it from some other kooky place. We're also going to be talking to a couple of other folks that we're going to have on the program. Oh, yeah, Art Bell and General Johnson Jameson will join us. And General Jameson apparently has put together some kind of a machine to try to contact the ghost of Bob Denver. So that's, you know, way, way out of bounds, man. Our number here on the Phil Hendry Show is 1-800-449-8686. You can visit us online at www.philhendryshow.com. I found a interesting site where we have so many great fans of the show. All over the internet, there's some different site where the show is chronicled. Probably better than anything else is the fact that the shows that we do, the bits that we do, are actually someplace on a site somewhere. If I forget something that I did, I can visit some site and find different things that we've done. We even get audio occasionally from listeners who will send us, here's a bit you did like 8 years ago, here's a bit you did last year, here's a bit you did last week that you may not remember you have. And we put that in our archive. And I found a site that has different quotes from characters. You know, we're always asking you guys to email, what's the funniest line from the show that you ever heard anybody say? Now, one of them we've posted on the homepage of our website, and it is the following. Pigeons lie, they lie through their freaking beaks. General Johnson Jameson. Here's a few more from the general. Both Hitler and Jesus crank called me. Whoa, yeah. He also said, this is highly irregular. I thought I was talking to a frozen embryo. Well, you know, General Jameson is the guy who is the only guest on the Art Bell segment of our show. General Jameson also said, I'm in Canada, obviously, because my life's been threatened directly by Al Gore. He's always hated me because I invented the internet. And then he goes, this is kind of cool. He says, I don't know what you're laughing at, Bell, but you've laughed at me for the last time. He's talking to Art Bell. Ross Mitchell, who starts the show, you know, with 1-800. Art Bell is full of crap. Here's another Ross Mitchell line. East of the Rockies, go away. West of the Rockies, dial, oh, I forget. Yes, Art Bell, one of the great cosmic freaks. And here's a little snippet of conversation. General Jameson, again, it's always been wonderful having you on. You're a freak case. Thanks, Art. What, you're normal? Jesus. Well, ain't that the pot calling the kettle black? Austin Amarca once said, how about a gut check and a neck snap? Austin Mark also said, what happens if I give you a boot to the head and counteract that with a block and roll? Remember he was teaching the kids how to do karate moves in the middle of Kill Bill? And then Ted Bell said, quote, okay, that does it. You're out of Ted's of Beverly Hills. You'll never get a seat in my place. Clara Bingham said, I have to tell you this. Listening to you for the last 10 minutes, I've got the desire to pull my underwear off and jam it in your mouth. And then Lloyd Bonafide, said the following: "Buddy, you put your hands on me, you'll pull back two bloody stumps." Oh, wait a minute. Here it is. This is the one that I like. "I just let this surf freak, I just let this beach bum here, I'll let him know if he ever grabs a phone out of my hands, he'll come back with just a wrist. No hand, just a wrist. I hope that when you die, the devil has got the gate." This is what Lloyd said to me once. I don't know what he was angry at me about. He said, "I hope that when you die, Mr. Hendry, the devil has got the gate open for you. Doesn't even worry about checking with God on that one. I don't think the devil should check with God when you die. I think he should just have the gate open." Wow! And then finally, an exchange with, well, this is R.C. Collins saying, "When I go to Iraq, I'll be the one-man killing machine." And then he said to some woman who called in, "This girl sounds like her tubes tied themselves together." "Freedom's important, but if I'm going to die for a word, my word is poontang." Of course, that's from Full Metal Jacket, but R.C. likes that one. And then he says, "Any woman that bumps into a guy must be trying him on for size. And let me tell you something, I'm a very tight fit." So there you go. That's some lines from one of these websites. I found, I don't know where it is, but if you guys got any more, you can send them to us. We did have a section where we posted them all. Then they got all posted, and then the whole thing's, yeah, just there was too many of them there. So if you look at the news, we got something new on George W. Bush's God.com. Boy, did I make people mad there. And one of the things that I did on that blog is I made it so that people have to give a valid email address. Do you know how that cuts down the traffic to your comments section? Now, anybody can get comments to their section. Anybody can get a guy posting, you know, anything. I mean, you suck, baba booey, anybody can get that. And then there's the second tier of those people. They have nothing to say about what you posted. They want to talk about your radio show. And then the third tier is they don't have anything to really say about your post. They just don't like what you said, but they don't really know how to, you know, argue it. And so we got all of these emails, including a few death threats, which sort of comes with the territory. Although with IP addresses, man, you can find out exactly. One of them came from a computer at Cal State Fullerton. I tell you this? Oh, yeah. Some guy said, you know, watch it. So it had something to do with my kids. And I take that stuff seriously. And we pursue that with the assistance of law enforcement. So we found that the computer was at Cal State Fullerton. And so I'm going to go down there and park my car outside the computer lab. And when I see the guy that... Anyway, so now we demand that you have to have a valid email address. And it's gotten way better. I'm able to actually talk to, you know, reasonable individuals. And the ones that aren't, we just, well, we file it. We file it under CS, baby.
Chicken stuff.
Right. 1-800-449-8686. So tonight it's Steve Bozell, Vernon Dozier, a visit from General Johnson Jameson and Art Bell. We also have Joe Dickhead and the Professor, and more on a world-famous Phil Hendry show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yes, sir. I'm retired military.
Okay. We're on the air right now. What is your name, sir?
Phil, my name is Galen Shaw, Phil, retired United States Army.
Sir, what can we do for you tonight? You're talking about the Mardi Gras. I don't think that there's going to be a Mardi Gras.
That was my question, Phil, if the Mardi Gras would be occurring, if you had any information on that.
No, you got a cordless phone there?
I've got a cordless. I'm standing here in my office trying to make this a little bit better for you. Is that better?
Yeah.
Do you have any information on whether the Mardi Gras is going to be happening, Phil?
I doubt seriously, sir. I doubt it seriously.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, the city is not going to be up to hosting a party, you know, in February. I mean, that's less than 6 months away.
Well, I can tell you, I was on the phone today talking with our travel agent, and I think that's a shame. We pack our vehicle well in advance, and we have never missed a Mardi Gras. My wife has a sister who lives on St. Charles, if you've ever been in that neighborhood.
Yes, I have.
Beautiful Victorian home. And we're also friendly with the Rices, who live in San Diego now. I don't know if you know who Ann Rice is.
Oh, yeah. You do you know her?
Know her very well. They live down in San Diego. But they're not in New Orleans anymore. So you don't think the Mardi Gras will be going on?
No, sir, I do not. I don't see how it's possible.
Well... You know, that's troubling. As I said, we do know Ann Rice and her husband, Stan. They live in San Diego now.
And I understand that, you know, Anne Rice, I don't think it's going to get you to the Mardi Gras. They're not going to have, you know, Mardi Gras.
Well, Phil, you know, I'm a veteran in the United States Army, a retired general in the U.S. Army, and I voted for George Bush. But I want to say something right now. You're telling me that there will not be a Mardi Gras, even though I've packed the car well in advance, egg salad sandwiches, and...
Yeah, look, at sir, what do you mean egg salad sandwiches?
I've packed the cooler. Not now, but that's what we take with us.
Well, there's not going to be a Mardi Gras.
Well, I'm a veteran of the United States Army.
I know, there's not going to be a Mardi Gras.
I know Anne Rice.
And do you know Al Hurt, too?
So now you're making fun of a United States retired general. Is that what you're doing? Because I can tell you, sir, the concern that I have...
Sir, I'm just telling you that there's nothing you can say that I can say is going to make Mardi Gras happen.
No, I understand that. But let me tell you this. I voted for George Bush, but you know something? As far as I'm concerned, he is a murderer. I don't think he's a murderer in any real sense, but if you look at a vacation as a living thing... With a heart and a soul, George Bush took out a ball-peen hammer and hit my vacation right in the soft spot of its head. And I'll tell you something, Phil.
Oh, that's ridiculous that George Bush killed your freaking vacation. George Bush didn't start this hurricane.
Well, that's not what I'm reading on the Internet. I've read a lot of things that this could have been prevented if George Bush not cut the budget on levee refitting.
Oh, wait a minute, man. I mean, the people are just saying that. They've had a levee study going since 2000. In 1995, they had flooding down there that was a record breaker. FEMA paid out more insurance bread in 95 than ever before that time. Okay, so there was plenty of advance notice of what was going on. The Army Corps of Engineers is doing a study on it.
Well, I don't know anything about that. All I know is George Bush took out he might as well have taken out a fork that you stick in the turkey before you carve it. Not the knife itself, but the fork that you stick into the turkey. And he might as well have stuck it in me and then pulled the electric knife out and started slicing pieces of me off for his lunch. Because, Mr. Henry...
You know, if you were in the Army, it's a good thing you're out of the Army, man, because I think, if you'll pardon me, Agent Orange.
That's dirty pool.
Get out of here. I think that guy was breathing some chemicals, man. Boy, you see, they had a picture of the guy getting a dog off the roof. People and animals. We have a thing for animals, don't we? We love them. And there was an MP, an Army guy, getting a little dog that was on the roof of a house down there in New Orleans. Somebody, by the way, sent me a aerial photo. It was really cool. Last night we were on Google Earth, and some guy sent me... No, we were on Google Maps. Some guy sent me an image from Google Earth showing me the difference between New Orleans and the flood and what's happening, you know, before the flood and what it looks like now. And it looks like maybe people are backing off of that whole Bush caused the hurricane to, you know, or caused the flood. And maybe they're just going to dump on him for not getting there in time, which is cool. I understand that. I read a quote that this guy, Nagin, the mayor, he said days before the New Orleans, before the flood happened, he said, we're looking at mandatory evacuation, but I got to see my legal standing on that. I don't want to be open to lawsuits from businesses and hotels. So he never did get around to that mandatory evacuation thing because he didn't want to get sued by the businesses and the hotels. So, and then, you know, later on, of course, he was screaming and yelling about how he needed to, you know, all this help and everything. I mean, forget it, man. Just go to georgewbushsgod.com before my jaws start getting tight. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up later on tonight, Art Bell and General Johnson Jameson will try to summon the ghost of Bob Denver, and we'll also have Vernon Dozier as well as Steve Bozell as our very, very special guest. We have some email, and this is from a cat by the name of Tony. He lives in Ontario, Canada. He says, Dear Phil, while Frank Gray, this is a great line from your show, while Frank Gray was taking a bath, he got fed up talking to you, and he uttered the following classic line, Margaret, bring me my pink slippers. I want to get out of the tub. Here's another guy who says that drying out in New Orleans, it shouldn't take weeks. And it shouldn't take months. It could take days. Some dude emailed me this cat. His name's Russell Hoffman. And he sent an email to hundreds of his customers who use his All About Pump software. And he wants input on how to, they are asking for input on how to dewater New Orleans. After receiving responses shown below, I'm convinced that New Orleans could be pumped dry in a matter of days. Hundreds or even thousands of small pumps could be put to work because there's a large edge from which to do much of the drainage process. Pumping out New Orleans quickly could save hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, you know, this is the kind of guy that people go, Yeah, that's real good, Russell. Could you take a seat right there? Yeah, okay.
Oh, really? I've got my hand pump right here.
But these are the guys that we ignore that probably got the answers, man. The guy's name is Russell Hoffman, author, animator, and programmer. That guy makes cartoons, bud.
No, it's good. It's good.
I don't know.
You just said it was.
Nah, the cat's a freaking cartoon guy, man. Get out of here. Anyway, the guy had all kinds of responses from people. And we got this from a listener of ours. He had sent me a picture. It was a video of our soldiers taking sniper practice in Afghanistan. I shouldn't say sniper practice, but it's actually them shooting like Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And I said, dude, where is that, man? And he finally said it was in Afghanistan. It's like border patrol. And I've got the video, and sometimes I want to post these things, but sometimes I figure they're a little too graphic, right? But it shows, you know, right through the sight of the rifle, they zero in on some, you know, raghead that's set up in the rocks and just pop the guy, man. You know, there's an art to this thing called being a sniper. Now, it's an old, old art in warfare. It was used to great effect in the Second World War and in Vietnam. And most armies have a team of very, very crack snipers. And what these guys do, and you'd be surprised. And this was developed in Stalingrad. The Russians had what they called their sniper army, their street sniper army. Some of these guys rig up contraptions. They pull on a string and a little helmet will come up just above the edge of the trench. So it looks like there's a guy sticking his head up. And that means somebody who is aiming for a helmet will fire, and then you get an idea as to where that person is, and then you fire back at them. Some of these guys will make a full fake-looking soldier who'll be sitting there with a gun trying to draw fire. And they have a system of little tunnels, and they have a system of rocks, and they have a system of places where they go and they hide. Or they'll leave fake, like, you know, candy wrappers or things to make them think that they were there. And they stalk each other. So that's what these guys are doing in Afghanistan. See, this whole idea of like guerrilla war, it was not something that the Mujahideen invented, man. It's pretty much something we learned from Indians and a bunch of other things that we, you know, kind of picked up along the way from popular mechanics. So those guys are out there and they're sitting in the rocks. They got their rifle. And as soon as some raghead sticks his head up, and by the way, the use of the word raghead is not racist. I explain all of that on my blog, georgewbushesgod.com. It's not racist. I'm sorry, you know, I hate to break the news, but it ain't. A rag on top of a guy's head is something he chooses to stick there. He wasn't born with it on his head. See, in other words, I'm a racist if I make fun of a guy's skin color because there's nothing he can do about that. Some cat chooses to put a rag on his head. Sure, I'll joke about it. What do I care? And it's not even about Muslims and it's not about Arabs. It's about the scumbags over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Those are the guys I'm talking about. So anyway, you see this raghead stick his head up. You can see right through the sight. The guy pulls the trigger, and I'm not telling you, he doesn't just shoot the guy. The guy's body explodes. Did you see this thing, Mark? See the arm go here and a head go there? And like, boom! And you hear the guy go, wow. These are the things. You can get these videos. They're on the Army's website. And these are the things that people should look at, I believe. Honest to God, I think you should. Especially if you're like against the war. You should be familiar with what it is you're looking at. Also, see if you can't find that Nick Berg video, those of you who haven't looked at it. Those of you who are opposed to the war in Iraq, go find the Nick Berg video and watch it. Please. You'll enjoy it. 1-800-449-8686 here in the Phil Henry Show. Email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. And our web address, www.philhenryshow.com. And hey, Mark, I forgot to tell you, go ahead and start pressing those cuts, man, because we're going to go with the CD. 2005 CD is on its way. The CD is going to be called Are You For Real? And will feature yet again an entire CD of phone calls, an entire CD of bits soon. All the money to benefit my friend's place.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dear Phil, can you create a new character as the, quote, pissed off driver from Florida, L.A., New York, or whatever, and have him explain the road rage of others in society? As the convo goes on, He becomes more and more upset of the drivers around him, and he begins to bounce off the other cars on the freeway and sending them into the walls or into a hill. He then quickly gets off and explains what he's done, praying, crying, ranting like a deranged animal. You're smart. You figure it out. People need to know about the morons in the left lane going the speed limit because it's there. Ah, forget it, man. I gave up on that a long time ago, the people in the left lane. Let me just tell you this much. Road rage is a psychiatric condition. You need to go to a doctor if you have that. You do. You need a psychiatrist. I have it, and I've been to many. I do. I've got road rage. Now, I don't act out anymore. I used to. I used to toss a bone or two when Lloyd and I used to cruise around, just flip the old bone. You mean you're back there washing and waxing cars? You know, am I going to give you a hard time about that? No, not at all, man. You go back and do what you need to do there back at the FCC. Whatever those guys are up to these days. You talk about a federal agency that needs some overhaul. And that FEMA. Let me ask a question, and maybe I shouldn't go here, but, you know, there was Hurricane Andrew, and I remember Hurricane Andrew just watching the news coverage of it. People were in dire need. They were going days without anything. And it was nothing. It was a town that wasn't underwater. So, I mean, you could drive a car down there. You could go down, you could park it, and you could hand out whatever you needed to hand out. And they said, well, we've really got to get this thing under control. Next, boom. Okay, now we got another thing here. Then in 95, they had a major flood. FEMA was paying out all kinds of bread. I'm not blaming them for the flood, but the problem is here we go again. People are bitching about the slow response. You got to have to federalize all of this, man, because it's not. Do you understand? You got to federal. You got to forget about whether the governor of Louisiana declares a state of emergency. Because today, that woman said, and I'm quoting directly, well, I don't know whether we should evacuate the city. I'm still looking at that. Huh? Look at folks. You can look it up. You don't have to believe me. So in other words, here's what you got to do. If you get up, you don't want a big, strong central government. This is what it takes. You're going to have Washington say, that looks like crap. You guys are handling like you're a bunch of freaking, like you're down at the crawdad hole, man. Okay, take the fishing pole out of your hand. Get your thumb out of your ear and let's get cranking. Do you guys know what's going on here? And then the other thing I found out, the Orleans Levee Board. You ever heard of them? You know who they are? Well, those are the guys that are in charge of the levee. And they're appointed by the governor and they're appointed by the mayor. And those are the cats that are supposed to check the levee and make sure everything's good. See? And these guys, as of the night before the whole thing came down, we've closed all the floodgates. There wasn't anybody saying that this is going to be a real serious breach. There wasn't anybody that runs that levee board saying, you know, we really have got a serious, serious problem here building up. I'm really scared. No, we've closed all the floodgates. That was their pitch to the press, man. Now everybody's a genius, you know. Such an easy thing to do. Boy, you can sit back, watch the whole thing happen. Remember that Twilight Zone where the dude had the camera that took pictures of stuff that was going to happen 2 minutes ahead? It's like all these cats, if only they had that camera. Oh, my God. Well, I knew this was going to happen. No, you didn't, Charlie. You never said anything about it. Yes, I did. Last week, I was talking about it. Bull crap. We're standing out here. You're down at the crawdad hole. I was having myself one of them shrimp sandwiches.
Yeah?
You never said anything about all the water coming downtown. Now look at the trouble we're in. We're in a heap of trouble, brother. I'm standing here, I got the gut. Well, I told you, I closed the floodgates like you told me to, you jackball. It still came over. Well, I don't know. Get that freaking Cajun sandwich out of your hand, man, that blackened sausage stuff. You blacken everything, don't you?
That's right. So I like my women.
What are you doing?
Having a po' boy sandwich.
Oh, a po' boy sandwich, huh? Poor boy. At least do me the service. I got to stand here on this flood watch with you. Freaking Laurel and Hardy, man. They start bailing out the city with their derby hats. Anyway, the Orleans Levee Board, they're in charge of the levee. You can say what you want. And I'm the first guy to, hold the president accountable. I just really want to get down on old George, man. If he deserves it, let's just jump all over him. Don't you think there's a few steps on the ladder along the way that maybe we got to start looking at? Like maybe who the cat was that was supposed to be looking for these kinds of things. And here's another one that you got to know. This is stuff you guys don't know. In 1995, they organized a project that would begin to look at the feasibility of levee repair. 1995! 1995! And they began to refit and repair where they needed to, but they felt that they had come up short. So in the year 2000, the Army Corps of Engineers commissioned a new study. And that study was to take a look at what else they needed to do. And guess what they said? It's going to take a few years to complete it. That's 2000. That's the year 2000. Now, I ain't blaming Clinton. I'm not blaming Clinton. I don't think Clinton caused it. I'm telling you that the process, whatever process is engaged in trying to get a levee rebuilt, is way to hell more or refitted or maintained or shored up or patched or put a Band-Aid over it or whatever the hell they do is a process, all right, that takes some time, I guess, in the modern, you know, way of doing things. And what hit New Orleans, man, was like nothing anybody ever saw before in their lives. Now, yeah, they could have figured it out. I never thought about it. I lived there for a year. I never once thought about the fact that I'm living on ground that I could get like totally, the water's going to be too high, right? Even though I lived through a flood in New Orleans. I lived in that. I lived in freaking Algiers, man. It's like right next to the levee. It's right next to the river levee. And I'm like way down there. And what was I thinking? I'm thinking like most people, well, this is really cool. You can build a city and everything and you're below sea level and stuff. That's really bitching. Yeah, okay, man. And what was I doing when I was down there? I'll tell you what I was doing. In the middle of the summer, I got a hold of them little skyrockets. Now, right across the street from me, they had resettled some Vietnam refugees, these poor people from Vietnam, okay? I didn't know it at the time. Well, I did, but I wasn't thinking of it the night that I went out onto my front lawn, and I had this skyrocket, and I lit it, and at the last minute, it tilted in the direction of the village where the Vietnamese people were. So my friend's like, you fool! They just got away from that! Here's some of these poor people resettled from Vietnam. Henry fired a freaking rocket into their lives. Hell, I didn't think about it. Nobody down there thought about it. Well, that's why we pay people, Phil, so they'll think about it. Well, they were thinking about it, and they were thinking about it, and they were thinking about it. And they commissioned a report in 2000, and they commissioned some repairs in 95, and they had a flood in 95. Hello? They had a flood in 95. FEMA paid out more in insurance than in any other disaster up to that time in New Orleans. Do you guys, I'm just telling, you can look this stuff up, man. Just remember, it's easy to listen to your friends or listen to some dumbass at the donut shop say,
yeah, one more time now, Bush ain't doing a thing.
I mean, maybe he's screwing up too, but man, you got to go way down the food chain. As the man said, go way down the trough a little bit to find the little piggy that started the whole thing. I just think you got to look down the trough, you know. And it starts with a couple of clowns standing there out there on the levee going, what's that? Looks like a flood. Well, why don't you do so? I did. I closed the flood gate. Well, let's get out of here. Far out. New Orleans convicts are being held at the Greyhound bus station. Now, why would a bus station make for a good jail? Although it feels like it when you're down there sometimes. I know, stick them in the bus lockers. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, Vernon Dozier on dropping your kids off at school, how safe is it, and Steve Bozell suing Kenny Rogers Roasters for apparently not telling him that his wallet was in his coat when he thought it was lost there. Got a letter from the colonel, and he wants me to believe that he's a real guy who actually is outraged that Bobby and Steve Dooley were talking the other day on the show about, you know, whites being outnumbered in 50 years and then having mud, you know, they have mud ovens for the Mexican people there in the kind of, get out of here, man. I can tell a phony letter thing, man. You dummy that whole thing up. The colonel. Here's a letter from Tammy, and Tammy lives in Jersey. She says, you talked about Art Garfunkel on your show the other day. I got to share a not so pleasant experience I had with Mr. Garfunkel. We went to see Art in concert in Jersey at a fancy opera house. We're sitting in the front row. I wait until an opportune time to take a picture when he walks over and is directly in front of us. So I fiddle around quickly to get the camera ready, switch the knob on the camera to the off flash, and I took a picture. Well, a bright flash went off anyway in Art's face. He wasn't happy, so he came over and not so pleasantly said to me, could you please put your camera away? All eyes were on me. I was trembling from embarrassment. Needless to say, I didn't enjoy the rest of the concert. I even endured a couple more resentful stares from Mr. Garfunkel as the concert went on. Can you imagine him? Like, I love you, and it's all I know. You dirty whore. I mean, what, like the whole show, he's just checking her out? In my little town. Thank you. Hey, thank you. Boy, what I wouldn't give. It's like it's bugging him through the whole thing. Because they were looking directly at me and shaking their heads in disgust, ever since this incident, the theater has a disclaimer, no flash cameras are allowed, I feel I am to blame. As the result, I hope Art Garfunkel's plane goes down in much the same way Buddy Holly's did. Just very quick, skidding into an ice-strewn field in the middle of December, somewhere far, far away from medical help. Thank you, Tammy. Well, Tammy, for your email, we thank you very much, and you'll be getting a copy of our, you know, whatever. All right, coming up, Vernon Dozier on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.